5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Happy Sunday, Croc Nation. Dr. Tommy and Ellie here with you with another podcast, Angel Santana, Have Faith, Let It Begin. Angel, how are you, my friend?
Better now that we've got our microphone working.
Yes, and I have to tell you, it's been a long week of arduous vacation, and here you are holding down the fort for us. How are the children? How are you? I understand your MRI came back fairly good.
Everything is good. The kids are finally back to normal. I got sick for 24 hours, but all is well in time to do the Croc Podcast.
Fantastic. And just since we did the exercise modules for our Croc Nation, any survivor bikers out there, if you like rail trails, please go up to Cape Cod. There's a beautiful 22-mile Cape Cod rail trail, beautiful off-road, no cars. So that would be 44 miles for you. And the Sea to Shining Sea, another 11 miles, so another 22 miles. Then there's the National Seashore up in Providence. Provincetown, which we didn't get a chance to do, but very beautiful with the dunes. So any biking you guys want to do, please go up to Cape Cod. You will thank me.
Sweet.
So we're still on the module, Angel. We're on the, reclaiming normal. And today we're going to talk about hanging out.
I like hanging out. I like hanging out with you.
Ditto, my friend, ditto. So you've just been clobbered with the diagnosis of cancer, and you've been double clobbered by your treatments. And the last thing you want to do is stay in touch with your pals, stay in touch with your bowling team, stay in touch with your bird watching group, stay in touch with some of your friends and associates, and pretty much your social life has gone down the drain. And we are here to tell you, Angel and I, not to fret. We're going to help you get your feet back in the water and get yourself back into the swing of things, back into hanging out.
Without a doubt.
And just for the record, as we get older, I love to tell everybody how old I am. I'm 62. And I love to tell everybody about my journey through the decades. And I will say that I've even noticed over the last couple of decades, less of a need, or I maybe that's a terrible word, but less of a motivation, I guess, to stay in touch with my pals and my buddies and, my relationships and my acquaintances, and much more, I guess, I don't want to use the word lazy, but definitely lackadaisical. So not even having a cancer diagnosis, not even having gone through cancer treatments, I can tell you, I think there's a natural tendency to start losing friends over time, or maybe you don't lose your friends, especially with social media. You can kind of stay in touch, which should be another podcast as well, social media. But we're talking about face-to-face, good old-fashioned hanging out and being with your friends and doing social things. And, how that looks for you, what the new look is after you've been diagnosed.
Yeah. And it's always interesting when you look at that perspective. And again, it's hard for us to really put ourselves into that because we're not those people that have been diagnosed, but we are trying to give you this point of view from this perspective, of course, without taking away from what you're really going through.
Yeah. And I want to tell you that even, one of my best friends that I've known since high school, my friend Fuhrer, trying to get a date for dinner has been several months, and I will see him on Thursday, I believe. Finally, he just kept on bugging me. Thank God that he cares enough to keep bugging me. And I will see him on Thursday, but that's really, we could definitely understand if that's us, imagine what you guys must be going through. So let's dig in.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about seven things, Angel. What do you say?
I like it. I like the number seven.
Yep. So let's talk a little bit. That's God's holy number, right?
I believe so. Yeah.
So let's, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to talk about guilt. So as a cancer survivor, let's start here. Make no mistake about it. You can do no wrong. You do not have to feel guilty that you've lost touch with your friends, your relationships, your responsibilities, You could do no wrong. You are in a guilt-free zone. Please, we need you to recognize what you've been through and need you to put it in perspective. You do not need to save the world. You need to save yourself. All you need to do is realize that you've been through a lot and you need to give yourself a break. So let's start right there. So whatever you need to do to relax, to breathe, and not to feel guilty that you haven't been in touch, it's okay. It's not a problem. It's okay. And if there's anybody in your world who takes it personally or feels insulted that you have not been in touch with them while you've been going through active cancer treatments, you know what? Those are not people you want to have in your life anyway. Would you agree, Angel?
Absolutely.
Number two, take your time. There is no timeline. You do not have to go from 100 miles an hour to 0 miles an hour back to 100 miles an hour. If you had a very active social life, if you had a very active life with clubs and interests and hobbies and pals and acquaintances and not-for-profits or whatever it is that you're trying to do to make this world a better place, you can go back, you can hit the gas full speed if you want to go back quickly, or you can go back slower, whatever you want to do. It's completely up to you. There is no deadline. Number three, take stock. You want to know who, what, and where bring you joy. You want to kind of, this is an opportunity. Again, we keep saying this, and again, not from Angel or from me, but from your lips, that cancer has been a gift to you, that it has afforded you a new view of life. And every podcast, there's a new facet of gift that we go through. And in this case, you get a chance to do a redo, a reboot. Not a lot of people get a chance to do that in their life, but this is your chance of trying to do that and actually take stock of what it is that you want to accomplish moving forward after your cancer diagnosis and your cancer cure and your survivorship of what brings you joy, who brings you joy, and where brings you joy. So those are all things that you might even want to write things down, write lists, write little notes to yourself. That's what I do. The kids that I know these days, they write things on their phone. You can do that as well. But take stock and write an inventory of what brings you joy, who brings you joy, where brings you joy. And then you should prioritize. You know, do you want, many of our cancer survivors get hit in the head with this diagnosis and then they reboot toward health. So many times, many of the social events that they would do, go out drinking, go out partying, all those types of things, is not where they want to be anymore. They want to be, you know, in a healthy place and concentrate on health. You know, or if you do want to concentrate on food, if you're a foodie and you want to go try new restaurants or new recipes or any of those types of things or hobbies, you know, what my wife and I do, we've tried to commit to health as well. We try to integrate healthy activity with our socialization. So a bike ride or a hike, you know, bring a picnic lunch. And instead of, you know, just sitting down at a restaurant and a bar and just drinking and eating terrible food, you know, instead you're going hiking and eating a nice hummus wrap or something like that. And you feel like you've not only accomplished something for your health, you've been, you know, surrounded by beauty and nature. So you might want to think about that. Or if there's a hobby that you want to move forward, surround that in a hobby. If a friend wants to hang out with you and you want to learn how to fish or surf cast, if you want to learn how to knit, if you want to learn how to make jewelry, if you want to learn how to fly a kite, you know, try to integrate that into your socialization. You know, build what brings you joy, where brings you joy, and who brings you joy, and try to integrate that into your prioritization. And then it might be a good opportunity, and it's, again, taking, you know, part of the take stock, bullet point. But you might want to simplify, have this opportunity to take stock and simplify. I know many, many years ago, as my life time commitments, you know, became smaller and smaller and start shrinking and drying up, I really wrote down the name of three people that I wanted to remain really tight with, you know, for the rest of my life, like lifelong pals. And for the other 7, 8, 9, 10, or however many people, I don't want to be mean-spirited, but And not that they weren't important and wonderful people, but I couldn't fit everybody in. So those three people I've made a commitment to see three or four times a year, and I've been over the years, over the decades, successful in that. It might be good time for you guys to kind of take stock and simplify exactly what your social commitments are. And then I need you to do something very difficult. I want you to scrutinize. I want you to make some hard choices. Like if you were, again, we're going back to the sports analogies, you know, the Major League Baseball has a 40-man roster. You might have three guys that are wonderful and great players, but they just, you know, you have to make a choice. You have to draw a line. In football, it's a 53-man roster. So you want to kind of break your relationships down into subcategories. So you have your top tier people, the people that you want to be friends with forever, like Angel, I want to be friends with you forever. Then you have your great friends, your great relationships, the ones that you want to put energy into. And then you have your fun group of friends that you just enjoy being with. They just make you feel good. My friend Jimmy Juice Man, I see him once or twice a year, maybe once a year for our Christmas hike. He makes me happy. You know, that day that I get to hike with him every year at Christmas, that's like my happiest day, and so happy to be able to see him. You know, can I see Jimmy Juice Man every week? I can't, but I could definitely make time for him once a year, you know, to do that special event with him. You also have, unfortunately, all of us have needy friends. And I know it makes us feel good that we're helping, you know, but remember, you have to take the oxygen from the plane that's losing altitude, and you need to take care of yourself before you can take care of others. So you need to kind of weed out the needy. You might have nice people that you really, they want to be kind of part of your sphere, but you know, where are you going to put them? I have a couple of people that I had to kind of move on from that were wonderful, terrific people. But it just wasn't a good match, whatever you want to say. There are people, sadly, that we all are friends with, we pity, perhaps. Maybe that's a harsh word. I know I had a friend in high school, or he wasn't even a friend. He was who I thought was a friend, and I was a friend with him because I pitied him because everyone made fun of him, and they threw things at his head, and it was just terrible. But a couple of years later, you know, he told me, you know, I said, hey, are we, you know, how are you doing, my friend? He goes, you're not my friend, you know, and he went through this whole thing as how I wasn't worthy of his friendship. And I thought that was so funny because he was right. I mean, really, we weren't friends. I based that out of pity, not really out of respect or admiration or anything like that. So I'm sure we all have people like that in our life that we can kind of, you know, maybe not stop praying for or caring for or wanting good things to happen for, but certainly we can kind of simplify and scrutinize and take them out of our lives. And then we have the semi-toxic and the fully toxic people in our life. We all have those people in our life. Most of them are relatives, and unfortunately you can't change that, but you can definitely diminish your exposure to people who are toxic or semi-toxic. And I can think of a couple of people in high school and even in my adult life that I was friends with. And when I look back and I say, why was I friends with this person? I couldn't figure it out. They were not good people. They were not nice people. I can't even to this day explain it, but it is true. And I think that, Angel, would you agree you might even have a couple of those people in your life?
Yeah, I call them the outer core friends.
And so some of it is just historical. Some of it is that you share a history. I know one of the guys I went to college with, so we went to class together. We became friends because of, I guess, a shared experience. But that's enough, not enough for you cancer survivors. That's not going to be enough for you guys to put your energy toward. Again, we're looking at trying to help you put your energy to getting back to your social life, but doing it in a smart way that's going to help you and not drain you. And lastly, you know, there are no apologies. There was a movie many years ago that I really took something from. It was The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, and there was a serial killer, and he invited, you know, the protagonist or the lead actor into the house. And he, of course, overpowered him and brought him down into the basement to kill him. And he had this really neat dialogue where he said, you know, half of my victims or more than half of my victims, you know, when I invite them into the house, they know they shouldn't go. But they do anyway because they don't want to be rude or shame or sh you know or you know be rude. And here they are walking into their death. And of course that's drastic, but it really is true. We don't have to apologize. We don't have to be in circumstances that we don't want to be. We don't have to be in energy draining situations. We don't have to be in situations where we're surrounded by toxicity. It's really a personal choice. So, Angel, a short and sweet bunch of references for our cancer survivors who want to get back into the hanging out scene.
You know, I mean, it's a very, very interesting topic when it comes to friendship. I'd have to say that I understand cold-heartedly what it can be to have friends. And the ones that you want to keep in your life, the ones you don't, the ones you have to make decisions on, and the ones you just feel good about. The best advice I can give is this. I believe all of us internally know the type of people that make us feel comfortable. And you have to trust your instincts and your gut, because if you do that, it'll never fail. And that's the best advice I can give.
Exactly. Angel Santana, have faith, let it begin. It's great to be back on the bus with you, my friend. Thank you for everything. How is your podcast going?
Everything's good. You know, can't complain. Just plugging along and getting ready for this Monday with you.
Excellent. Rod Freeman, Small Biz Up. Thank you for everything, Rod. I look forward to meeting with you this week. To our board of directors who care so much for you cancer survivors, thank you for your direction. We had a board meeting 2 weeks ago. It was terrific. I can't wait to enact some of your recommendations. Michael John Benzea, Charlotte Larson, thank you for your support as always. And we end this podcast as we end every podcast. The first thing we do is we do our Newt Rockne, do our little coaches, little pep talk. You cancer survivors, we do this for you. This is a service. This is a podcast, some advice, some love, some support, some advocacy to a group of people who really deserve it. You guys didn't ask for this diagnosis. You didn't ask for this disease. It scared the living pants off of you. You got toxic treatments. You feel terrible. You came out the other side. You beat it. You were cured of it. You're still not back to where you were, but guess what? You are special. You are loving. You are amazing. You are beautific. That's not a word. We just make these things up. You are just a great, great, great worthy bunch of people that we admire and love very much. And we are hopeful that these podcasts are of help to you in your survivorship. And as we always say, we wish you a long, healthy, happy, and cancer-free life. God bless you. God be with you. Peace.